times you there ain't a whole lot needs to be added to that. That's good preaching, Brother Buddy, and I thank the Lord for that clear presentation of the subject of justification. Very clear, very line by line teaching of what justification is in Scripture. And I'm not even going to go into what I have, because my mind is far from it right now. My mind is still on the letter I read to you this morning, along with what Brother Buddy has presented to us today. If you read God's Word and you see the word save or salvation, yeah, and you see the word justified, justification, or justify, and you don't sit back and take a minute with the Bible study, it'll benefit you in your walk with Christ. Sit back and take a minute and say, what is this verse of Scripture telling me I am saved from? What is this verse of Scripture telling me I am justified by? Elder Obey from Africa, whenever he came over, the reason why I didn't want to go through the story to start off with, because I feel a need to tell you now. He came over to the United States from Africa to attend a seminary school. We don't have seminary schools. He didn't come over here to be a member of a Primitive Baptist church. He came over to attend a seminary of the order that he was a part of at that time. He was a Christian. He believed in God, believed that Jesus Christ was his Savior. But he stumbled up on that old church building out there and was wondering, who are these people who call themselves Primitive Baptists? And when he came in and he sat down, his experience, and I'm just sort of summarizing it from the best that I've read of his story, was a lot like mine, in terms of he fell in love with the sweet, felt Spirit of God amongst the people there first, and the warmness and how they received him. He's a black man, about 6'3". And even my fleshly nature, I remember seeing him at meetings at Bethany, wondering, what is that black dude with an afro doing at the church here at Bethany? And you say, well, that was hateful. No, it wasn't. We knew that he looked like somebody from another country. I didn't ask him wondering, well, they ought to check his ID at the door. I asked him because I wanted to get to know him a little more and find out, how exactly did you get here to Atlanta, Georgia, and be seated in a Primitive Baptist church meeting on Friday night? And if you go back and you read his story and you read of how he became to the knowledge of the truth, one of the first things he'll tell you is, somebody finally told me to wonder and ask myself, saved from what, justified by what? He said, I have read God's Word, and he was familiar with it enough to know something was not adding up with what he had been taught up to this point. He said, Brother Sam told me, he said in Romans chapter 10, he said, whenever you read, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record they have a zeal of God. A wicked, unregenerate sinner does not have a zeal of God. It takes somebody with the Spirit of God within them to have a zeal of God. We read that Cornelius, in Acts chapter 10, had a zeal for God. He was a just man, one that prayed with his family. But he did not know, he had not come to the knowledge of the truth until Peter got to him. But are we to believe that if the Apostle Peter would have died on the road to get to Cornelius, and Cornelius would have died without hearing that sweet spirit and that sweet message like we have heard this morning, that somehow Cornelius would not get to go home to be with the Lord? I refuse to believe that, first of all, because I think that that's a hateful way to view the doctrine, and second of all, because I know God's Word doesn't teach it. But he said, I had to sit back and ask myself, save from what? Keep reading. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness have gone about to establish their own righteousness. And I'm here to tell you today, your heart's desire and prayer, you don't have to be a minister, you don't have to be the Apostle Paul. You don't have to be a minister of the gospel to carry the burden on your shoulders and to utter a prayer to say that my heart's desire and prayer to the people in this world is that they stop trying to lift themselves up on their own righteousness and finally rest in the righteousness of God. What a sweet rest that is. I love to hear people's testimony and to hear people tell me about how they used to burn up the trip down to the altar week after week after week and still feel just as condemned when they sat down as they did when they were up there praying. And you say, how could they feel as condemned? Because Satan never leaves our mind alone. He hadn't left your mind alone here this morning. I guarantee you, he's been working on me sitting up here. No telling what's been going through our minds here seated in the house of God. But I tell you what, if every time you commit one of those sins, if you have to turn around and repent, and repent and repent in order to get to go to heaven, you'll continue to feel condemned. You'll never find rest. But whenever those things enter your mind, and whenever your body does those deeds that you know better, and you struggle against yourself, you can sit back and say, man, I'm going to get him next time. But praise God, the Lord died for that one too. The Lord died for the sin of rebellion. The Lord died for every sin that he ever committed, that you ever will commit. He read in Romans chapter 6, he read in verse 13, and I'm not going to say a whole lot. He said, for until the law, sin was in the world. That law was not delivered until Moses went up in there in the mountain and the Lord wrote it on those tables. Those people did not know what their sins were. Did that mean that because they did not know what their sins were, that they somehow didn't feel love towards one another? That all they all hated each other with wrath? No, because the love of God existed within them, but they didn't know what those evil deeds were. But it says that it continues to say, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Sin is not imputed. That imputed means counted. Counted where? Counted in their minds. They didn't know what it was. But death, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. You think God's justice is somehow gonna hold back in the eternal courtroom of God because people are not aware of the sins they commit? No. We worship a just and a righteous God who will punish sin. Because death reigned even from Adam. The one who committed the first sin, all the way up to the point where that law was delivered in Moses, death reigned. Think about the sins that were committed. Just on a... You think about Abraham going down to Egypt and lying about who his wife was to those folks and saying, she's my sister. You think that was somehow because the law had not been delivered unto Abraham, that somehow that was not a sin? It was a sin. He told a lie about who his wife was. Death reigned. And through that sin and through the sins that they committed from Adam all the way up to Moses, they died within. But nevertheless, but even over them that had not sinned at the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Just as that one man sinned, and it sent all of mankind into a state of sin, even so did the death of one reign righteousness unto many. And some people read that verse of Scripture and says, well, it says Adam's death sent many into death, and Jesus Christ's life sent many into life. So that means that that's the same number of people. No, it's not. And if you believe that, then you have to throw every Scripture out that's in God's Word about an eternal hell, because that means that everybody has the spirit of life of Jesus Christ living within them. But that tells us that just as Adam's death put mankind in a state where they are sinners. You are sinners here this morning. Welcome to the house where you can be seated with sinners and thank the Lord for what He has done for us. Because just as that one sin hath abounded unto many, so hath the life of Jesus Christ hath been given to many freely by His free gift. And I thank the Lord, Brother Buddy, for what you brought for us today. And I trust that we'll continue on along these lines in our studies. I remember several months ago I told you that... I preached on the salvations in Scripture. I believe it was the first Sunday in July. And it's amazing how I preached that here to you. And I went several places after that. And I thought I would preach on other things when I got there. But the Lord kept putting that on my mind. And I would preach it to God's people in different places. And you say, well, you're re-preaching the same sermon? Yeah. Yeah. One time there was a young minister who preached on one side of the state on Friday night. And there was another minister sitting on the back row, and he had another appointment on Saturday night on the other side of the state, and that same minister went over there, and he preached the same thing on Saturday night. He preached on Friday night. That old minister said, he's a one-horse preacher. Y'all don't want to fool with him. He said one of those other ministers were standing over there and said, well, maybe the Lord will give you something worth preaching twice. But nonetheless, there's nothing wrong with re-preaching it, because whatever the Lord puts on our hearts is what we should preach. Exactly. But it's amazing how I preached that at the church I grew up in down there. And I preached about different salvations in Scripture. And I knew the people who were there. I knew the churches that they grew up in and the churches that they were currently members of. And good people, a lot of them, real good people. I love them very much. But they have no idea about salvation by grace. They have no understanding of it. But they nod their head about different salvations in Scripture. There's a sound teaching in teaching that. There's nothing wrong with teaching. It's not controversial to teach the different salvations in Scripture just because some people have it confused. It brings rest to a child of God to finally be able to realize I can't do it on my own. It took the sacrifice of God to impute these things unto me. And because I know them, and because I accept the teachings, I get to rest and get to enjoy the blessings of God here in this life. Thank you for your time, sweet attention. Thank you, Brother Buddy, for your discourse.